This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If you can defend the run and split safety, that's some high-powered stuff. You know, it's not easy to do. There's a lot of stress on the interior defense and on your edge with your edge mechanics. Guys have to play multiple gaps, so it's heavy lifting. So we're, you know, it's not easy. You got to know how, like, who you're using in run fits and when you can use them. If you can do it, it just gives you such an advantage. Now, there's times where you want to play single high, and you know, we kind of call it accordingly there. But love the question. You know, more football questions.
So that's Seattle coach Mike McDonald. Yesterday, Joe, I said to you, I mentioned this comment to you yesterday, that he talked about this, hey, two safety, split safety, and stop the run. That's high-level stuff. What I said to you at the time was, you know, I don't do all the football film stuff the way that a lot of people that are the best in the world at it do it. But, like, the Bills have been at the forefront of this. The Bills have been ahead of this curve and doing exactly that, right? Like, they generally stopped the run. They played split safeties for above average in the league for the last 5 years. And that clip from Mike McDonald, the head coach of the Seahawks, Dan Orlovsky tweeted that yesterday with the comment, welcome the Buffalo Bills. This whole thing that the defenses are doing, the Bills have been doing for quite some time. So, like, give Sean McDermott his flowers and Bobby Babich and Leslie Frazier, even though, you know, he left and people were mad he was not aggressive enough. Like, for multiple years, the Bills have been doing this. Betting on you not getting explosive plays will be a winning formula.
Is it any surprise to anybody that Lamar Jackson's career splits, his lowest yards per attempt against any opponent, is against the Buffalo Bills? 5.3 against the Bills in his performances. They limit his rushing generally pretty well also. Yep. I mean, that's probably a chunk of Baltimore's explosive plays, I'm sure, is him just taking off running and you're not ready for it, and he can beat cornerbacks to the second, third level.
I wonder how much of a real test this is, because Derrick Henry, you know, he's hit the Bills for a couple of big plays, right? That's
yes.
You remember those.
Yes.
He had a big long touchdown run in Tennessee. In the last couple seasons in Tennessee, he did not have a good offensive line. I look up the last time these two teams played, the Bills held Derrick Henry to 13 carries and 57 yards. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. He was all they had. Now, you know, as you got to, I'm thinking back to the years past where the Bills are talking about maintaining eye discipline, right? You got to maintain your eye discipline for Lamar. And Lamar as the threat to run and Henry as the power guy, who also scores fast and does everything. It is a unique challenge. And I came into this year thinking that that would work really well for Baltimore. That, yes, I buy into that running back especially being one that he's in the heads, he's in the minds of defenders in ways that other running backs are not. Right? The same way that Josh Allen is in the head of a defender, the way that Aaron Rodgers might not be. Like, not to say Rodgers can't throw it, but, you know, if Rodgers takes off to run, it's not exactly the same as if Josh Allen takes off to run. And I think Derrick Henry does give that to the Ravens. You know, no Bernard, no Milano.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder about the linebackers in this game. How will they? And no Taron Johnson, who's important to stopping the run, right? So
that stat, though, that you had earlier about Henry leading the league in yards before contact.
No, not leading the league.
Sorry.
Just better. A lot better than it was. He might be leading the league. I don't know.
Okay.
A lot better than it was the last two seasons in Tennessee. So if you thought Henry was starting to age and wear down, he's been brought into an offense that gets him better opportunities.
Is that something, though, I should expect the Bills to be better at than especially what the Cowboys were? That's probably assumed. But even the previous two opponents that the Ravens would have seen, because their line looks awesome. There was a clip I saw yesterday that Derek Klassen that tweeted it out, where A.J. Epenesa on a run play to ETN up the middle. Dorian Williams, Baylen Specter don't even have to make the play because Epenesa has thrown their left tackle into Travis Etienne to make the tackle.
I saw that clip. It was impressive.
Like, they're probably going to do a lot of that to Baltimore, I think. So, one thing about Henry is he gets a lot of his big plays not from, hey, he made a guy miss at the line of scrimmage. The thing on him, maybe the best way to defend him in his career is just get him right away. Don't let him build up speed. He builds up speed. Now you're tackling a freight train versus it's a boulder after it's gotten going down the hill. You know what I mean? Like, once you push it down the hill, it's over. But if you can stop it right at the beginning, that's not as difficult. And the Bills' defensive line, I'm really wondering how big a strength it could be. It could really turn off those Derrick Henry plays, I think, in this game, especially if they've got an offensive line that's banged up a little bit. But, I mean, really, other than the big run, how do we feel like he's done against the Bills in the past, Derrick Henry?
I know the Titans, it's a little bit like the Jags, where they have stupid losses to Tennessee. There's a big turnover-based game, and then there's the one where they don't get the quarterback sneak. It just feels like they lost stupid games to Tennessee. But
yeah,
and I know that Derrick Henry threw Josh Norman to the sun, but I'm generally not worried about it. Maybe that's because it's always been Ryan Tannehill with Derrick Henry, and now it's Lamar, who I think is worth worrying about quite a bit more.
That's true.
And Zay Flowers is good, and Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. Like, the Ravens have weapons, but so did Jacksonville. And Jacksonville came into that game number one in the league in explosive play rate, and the Bills locked them down. So,
right. All right. You ready for Henry's career games against the Bills? Starting in 2018, 11 carries for 56 yards. 20 carries for 78 yards against the Bills. 19 carries for 57 yards. That was the game they won 42-16, by the way.
Yeah, they shut them down.
They dominated that game, and Henry averaged 3 yards a carry. 20 for 143, half of which came on one run.
76-yard run.
Yeah. To be fair, he also had two other touchdowns. Okay. He had 3 touchdowns on the day in total. And then last year, or 2 years ago, 13 carries for 25 yards. So I've got one big game in there, and again, like, half of it came on one run.
Yep.
So it's not like he has, every time they've played him, destroyed the Bills. But the point about Jackson is fair. Like, they've got two guys that they've done a good job shutting down. Can you do as good a job on both of them when they're standing back there together?
803-0550. Thought on this game? Give it to us. The Bills have right now one of the best offenses in football. The Ravens, I mean, they give up a lot of big plays. And, of course, Derrick Henry added into the mix. Sunday Night Football, a Darkness Falls game. Matt in Grand Island. That's what the Ravens call it. They call it a Darkness Falls game. Matt in Grand Island, good morning.
Hey, guys. I went going right through the drive-thru. The thing I was saying, you were talking about Mahomes before, and I'll tell you, I would take 15 fantasy points from Josh every game in exchange for a Super Bowl. I don't really care about what they're saying. I mean, when you guys were kind of breaking down the, you know, what Mahomes hasn't been doing and how it's looked, I'll take an ugly-looking Super Bowl victory every day of the week. I mean, at this point, I just wonder, you know, they've been dominant. Mahomes has pulled so many rabbits out of the hat over the years. His level of confidence that he can do it is so great that maybe he just doesn't feel the pressure to be that guy every day.
Well, I mean, anytime you kind of say that, Matt, it's like you're choosing between touchdown passes and Super Bowl wins, which is not what you're doing. I mean, the point about Mahomes was he hasn't had 3 touchdowns in a game in nearly a year.
Yeah.
That's a statement about how that offense is playing. And, of course, points are important. So, I mean, it wasn't really a fantasy football point so much as it's Patrick Mahomes hasn't had 3 touchdowns in a game in almost a year.
Yeah.
Is there any spinning that as great just because they won those games?
guys, but I guess my point is that during that time, how many times has he scored a touchdown when they need to score a touchdown? It's almost like, I think there comes a point where he scores as many touchdowns as he needs to. I don't mean it's just like magic. It's just like he is more often than not, when they need to have the win, they need to get the touchdown.
I don't dispute that. They get the job done. But the point is, there, if you have a team, thanks, Matt. Like, careful about the clutch part. Careful about the one-score game part. I mean, I always push back on this because, I mean, Allen against Jacksonville, how many of those touchdowns did they need? Okay, you could make the case they didn't need five first-half touchdowns. But by getting five, there was no clutch time in the game. You can win a – you know, they say you can't win a golf tournament on Thursday. You can win a football game in the first half. You really – you can. You can kill a game. The Bills did it. The Bills have done it before. So, like, it's just a commentary on the Chiefs' offense has not been some world-beating, unstoppable force, which it was when he came in the league. He threw 50 touchdowns in his first full season.
All right.
And there was an expectation there'd be some regression. And here, like, I report from the headquarters of Chiefs Fear Bunker. I live in fear of them. Because of what you said, Matt, that they always find a stupid way to win. I went to bet against the Falcons because I thought, I'm just going to stay up and they're going to win because of a call, which they did. And they got a 4th-and-16 bailout against Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they won that game. You could say, like, does he get the touchdown when he needs it? What he gets sometimes is a 4th-and-16 pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Harrison Butker kick. So,
and I'd want to look up if it's actually true. How often is he getting the touchdown at the end? In the Super Bowl, which is going to make it feel like it happens all the time because that's the game that actually matters the most. But, like, he lost 5-1 score games at the end of last year. That was a good amount.
Yep.
And, you know, like, I want to leave some room for, if you play that way, you can't, it makes you less likely to win. You know, like, they did win. It was always possible, and they did. They had a great defensive run, and their offense, when there were a couple of moments where they needed to come through, in the Super Bowl, they did do that. They did not do it to the Baltimore Ravens, though, in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, they were there to be had, and
yes,
and the Ravens' offense couldn't get the job done.
That was a game where Mahomes went 9 drives, his last 9 drives in that football game. He scored 3 points. And there were drives at the end where he had a chance to put the Ravens away, and he didn't. But it was okay because their defense was so good that the defense never let the Ravens back in themselves. So you can win that way. It's just generally harder. It's generally harder to have a more, you know, game manager type reduced offense that's not blowing people out, and you've got to win one score games like that. The Chiefs do it well. But are they always going to win these one-score games at the rate that they are? I think it's more random than that. Unless you are someone that believes they are just going to get the call every time.
Yeah.
Then maybe it's not as random.
Thanks, Matt. I mean, again, like, no one's saying, what would you rather have, 3 touchdowns or a Super Bowl?
Right, rather the Super Bowl.
But if I offer you, hey, all right, the Bills are going to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. You're not picking between the stats and the win, but if you could pick, Josh Allen throws 4 touchdowns or 1, what would you prefer? And I'll take the points. Like, I think a better chance if my offense is humming.
That's the thing. It's just you haven't seen the Chiefs' offense humming.
It hasn't hummed like the Bills did on Monday in almost a year.
Right. In like a year. And I got respect for their defense, and I think that helps them a lot in these late game situations and keeping them in games when they're not really scoring a ton of points. But man, I don't know. If the Bills' offense can look the way it did and that matchup comes up again, I'm going to believe they can finally win it.
803-0550. We got him in the drive-thru, too. Held it together. He held it together. Nice work. Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron.
Good morning, guys. Sorry about that. Question. So let's just say, for argument's sake, that Mahomes is still the best quarterback in football. In Buffalo, we believe Allen's better than Jackson and Baltimore, they believe Jackson's better than Ball. That's what we do. We're homers. How does the rest of the country really feel? Where does Allen fit? Is this game on Sunday night that type of game where it's, I don't want to say Peyton versus Brady because that was different, but you know, where does this game sit like that? Like, if people want to say, hey, okay, this is the ultimate game. Let's see who's really the better quarterback. You know, I mean, I'm going to say it's Allen because obviously I'm a Bills fan, but where does the rest of the country put Allen and Jackson between 2 and 3? Or is there somebody else I'm thinking of they would put above that, and that would be silly? And I'll hang up and listen, because that's the question I want to know is, what does the rest of the country think? Thanks.
Well, for what it's worth, I mean, the NFL players last year voted Lamar the second best player in football. He was ahead of Mahomes, who was fourth, and Allen was, what, 13th?
Yes.
That was last year. This year, Allen's about to get more credit. You know, as much as the irony of the everybody eats conversation is that the real person that eats the most is going to be Josh Allen. He's going to get more credit than anybody. And we could all say that nobody cares about the stats, but we're all going to care about the stats when the MVP vote comes in and Allen has the most passing touchdowns with rushing touchdowns and 4,800 yards. Like, the stats, we are going to care about the stats a lot. You know, if it's spread around all these receivers, it's probably going to help his case even more to be named as MVP, best player. I think you'll see more of it. Let's fast forward another 2 months, 1 month. Allen keeps playing the way he's playing, which is putting up bonkers numbers, not turning the ball over. And Mahomes goes, what, 4 or 5 more games without 3 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
And Mahomes has...
And continues to turn the ball over.
He has 4 picks to 5 touchdowns.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how soon it would be that he would be called the best player, but people are starting to say it. Aaron Rodgers said it.
Did you see...
And people, you know, without saying, like, he's the best player, like, he's playing the best football right now is not even controversial.
Right. And on Mahomes, like, did you see ESPN this morning had the whatever, like, they're going to rush to these 10 times earlier than they probably should, but one of their headlines this morning that was on, like, the bar while people were talking was, panic on Pat? Question mark? Mm-hmm. Panic on Pat. I mean, I wouldn't be panicking on him. It's more, to me, an indictment on their offense. And some of that was Hollywood Brown was injured right away, and Kelsey being shot, and Pacheco being hurt also, right? Because he's,
yep,
he's easily a workhorse running back for them,
yep,
like the guy they trust the most. But the offense as a whole, it's just not the wagon that it was in the first 5 years of Mahomes. It doesn't look that way right now. And to me, that makes them look more vulnerable. They are a team that has won the Super Bowl. They're not going to win every Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. And they're not going to beat the Bills every single time they play them, although it might feel like that. So when you watch them, I'm trying to figure out, okay, how vulnerable are they? Because eventually it's going to happen. And every time I watch them, I feel like they look pretty vulnerable.
That was life watching the Patriots too, right?
Trying to figure out how vulnerable they were.
And thinking, they're right there. Just beat them.
Yeah.
Whether it's Russell Wilson throwing a pick in the end zone or...
They went 10 years without going to the Super Bowl,
that's
though.
Right. Without going or without winning?
Winning. Okay. Yeah, they went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. They went twice against the Giants and lost both.
All right. You have just Bill's stats and graphs and memes. Is this you?
I retweeted that. In response to, I went down the rabbit hole in the break. So, we pointed out, Mahomes has not thrown 3 touchdowns in a game since week 7 of last year, October 22nd.
Not even just thrown.
Last year.
You include rushing.
Right. I did not include rushing because I had a hard time finding that. So, there might be more names on this list, actually, that would even be impressive. This is just passes. 3 touchdown passes in a game, more recently than Patrick Mahomes. Tommy DeVito, Easton Stick, Bailey Zappi, Jake Browning, Aiden O'Connell, Joe Flacco has done it 3 times, Sam Howell has done it twice, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Will Levis, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield have done it 4 times each, and then there are 16 others, including, of course, Josh Allen, who's done it 3 times. And again, that does not include rushing. There would be more names on that list that include rushing. So just bracing for Chiefs Twitter to find this now and then yell at me for the rest of the week.
Listen, we're not declaring him dead. I mean,
I don't even think it's his fault. Right? Would you put it on Mahomes that he's not putting up the gaudy numbers that he once was? I would put it on their left tackle probably stinks. Their receiving core is not as good as it once was. And their tight end isn't as good as he once
was. Last year you started to see the Kelsey dip. And I thought that might go up this year with a little more talent around him to insulate him with Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. But Worthy's a specialist. We knew that. And Hollywood Brown's out for the year. So, interesting. 803-0550. I'm pulling up Daniel Jones to see if he's had three touchdowns in a game more recently. Which
he runs a little bit. He probably
that's what I mean. Yeah.
What did he have one last week? Because he had two to neighbors.
He did not have one last week.
He didn't have a rushing touchdown last week.
No. All right. I might have a game against Arizona from last week. Last year,
Tommy DeVito, I think, is the funniest one.
Tommy DeVito,
him having three touchdowns in a game, happening at all, but let alone more recently than Mahomes.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Let's connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. West New York's Kia dealer, number one Kia dealer. Steven tweets in, to the point on scoring a lot of points can win you a game in the first half. That may well be the key to victory Sunday. If you get up big, it minimizes the importance of stopping Henry and Lamar. In the run game, they'll have to throw more to make up the gap. That's something that Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, mentioned with us early, that maybe the best way to make Baltimore one-dimensional is to have Josh Allen and Joe Brady go to work. They give up explosive plays, eat up a bunch in the first half, kill the game.
Mm-hmm. And make them throw it the way they did in that AFC Championship game we were just talking about. And really, where's their passing offense right now? What's the reputation of their passing offense? They're kind of a one-man show, aren't they?
They had been Andrews for a long time. Now it's Flowers.
Andrews is just, he's not even involved. Four routes last week.
Yep.
He's got to be hurt. He had a shoulder surgery in the offseason and then got in a car accident in the preseason. So, man, would you even bother covering him? Like, he looks like he's looks like Kelsey, but he's 5 years younger. And likely had the big week one, but he hasn't really done anything in the last couple of weeks. Like, it is the Zay Flowers show. And I wonder if it'll look like that week one game against the Chiefs, where what happened in that game was the Ravens realized, holy cow, we can't block the Chiefs. So everything was to Zay Flowers at the line of scrimmage. It was either Lamar running, or it was, we are going to throw a screen pass to Zay Flowers. It was like their whole offense. And I wonder if the same thing could happen here, where you get ahead of them. They were playing from behind in that week one game. They're playing from behind. They can't protect their quarterback. And everything starts to become, all right, well, I guess we'll just do a screen here to Flowers. We'll do a reverse here to Flowers. It's kind of their whole show right now, I feel like, through the air.
The Giants tonight look for their first win on a Thursday since 2015.
Wait, one more time? First win on...
First Thursday win since 2015.
Wow.
The Giants haven't beaten Dak Prescott since 2016.
Really?
Yeah.
They play him twice a year.
Yeah.
8 years?
8 years they've not beaten Dak Prescott.
Is that when he's a rookie also?
It might be.
Because I don't think he's been around much longer than
that. I didn't realize he played in 2016.
That was his rookie year.
It's also, Adam Schefter tweeted, it is Al Michaels' 20th Giants-Cowboys game.
Of his career?
Yep. 20th Giants-Cowboys game. And on the list of the games he did is the one with the Beckham catch, like one of the most famous catches in football history.
Yeah.
That Beckham catch was on a Monday Night Football, right? Monday night. Yeah, because Al would have been on that game.
Sunday night, right? He did Sunday night.
He did both. He did, for a while, he did Monday night.
Okay, I think by then it would have been Sunday night, though. I don't remember him very well on Monday Night Football.
No? It was...
Because he's on Monday Night Football with Madden, right?
He's...
With John Madden?
Yes. There's also Michaels and... Boy, is it Deerdorf and who? You're asking
I don't know.
You're asking me to remember things.
Was that the Tony Kornheiser Monday Night booth? That was probably somebody else.
I cannot remember.
Monday night, you're saying?
He did Monday Night Football. Okay, thank you. Sorry. Yes. He did Monday Night Football for 20 years.
Okay.
86 to 2006. And on 2006, he moved to Sunday. But it's Frank Gifford. That's the name I'm thinking of. It's Michaels, Deerdorf, and Gifford for a long time. Those three.
Okay. Gotcha.
Everybody's got their Monday Night Football era. Like when you first started watching it and the announcers you remember.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's Michaels, Deerdorf, and Gifford for me.
See, I don't really have a Monday Night was always changing for me.
Yeah.
So I don't really have like a go-to booth that I think of. Gruden, I guess, would be the name.
803-0550. When we get back, Luke Jones on the Ravens. where they are, 1-2, have they righted the ship, and what kind of challenge they present to the Bills. Stay tuned. That's coming.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Coming up.
I believe they got something going around with, like, how he eat and stuff like that. So I believe that's playing a part in how the guy works, man. He, in practice, I believe I said it before, like, he don't like to mess up. It can be like, it was my fault. I'm going to say it was my fault. He can be like, no, I'm not going to do this better. It's like, all right, bro. Like, you know, but that's great to see from a guy like him and all if he's established in the league. You know, that's a guy who want to be great, and he's proven that.
Lamar Jackson on Derrick Henry. Those two running 1-2 in Baltimore, and the Bills will play in Baltimore for Sunday Night Football, looking to go in to go 4-0 for the first time since 2020. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Luke Jones from WNST, covers the Ravens. Luke, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time ahead of what looks to be a pretty fun and big matchup.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I was just talking with one of our own hosts, and you know, it feels like these two teams are kindred spirits, right? I mean, so much regular season success, but both teams haven't been able to break through against Mahomes in January, but can't get much better than this for week four, that's for sure.
Yeah, kindred spirits, the same kind of trajectories, and yet not that many meetings, right? Like, we've got the playoff game here in 2020. There's a comeback win for the Bills there in Baltimore, but there have not been that many games. One thing I noticed about Baltimore, Luke, and maybe you could speak to this, the Ravens play more close games than any team ever, because whether they're blowing leads, which they've done a couple times, or winning close games and holding on, like, it seems like Baltimore games are always, you know, stressful.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I agree with you, and everyone sees that graphic that comes up every time they're in a position like they were against Dallas or against Vegas the week before when they blew a two-score lead in the fourth quarter. But this team has also had some absolute wallopings of some good teams. I mean, last year they crushed Detroit. They crushed Seattle. They beat the 49ers really handily in December. I mean, you look at their point differential and you'd say, oh, well, they blow a lot of teams out. But to your point, when they get in position where it gets dicey, boy, it gets really dicey. I mean, it's almost like when things go awry in the fourth quarter on those occasions, it really goes wrong. So it's a strange team because they're 1-2. You look at them from a, you know, look at all the different advanced metrics and DVOA and things like that still tell you they've been one of the best teams in the league, but they've got to finish. And until they do that, especially when a team like the Bills are coming to town, no lead really feels safe. And again, it's something that they've been so good to have these leads over the last few years in the fourth quarter. So you can kind of look at it as half full, but at the same time, boy, when they lose, it's just in such excruciating, maddening fashion.
Yeah, I'm wondering what explains that, because they look on paper to be better equipped to finish games just by having Derrick Henry, I think, right? And he's playing well. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. So, like, whether it was last week or the Raider game, do you think those are going to be more anomalies than in the past because they have Henry and you would think they'd be able to kind of bleed games out better?
I mean, you'd like to, but at the same time, and this is one reason I'll be fully transparent here. I wasn't over the moon about the Derrick Henry signing, not from the standpoint of that he's 30 or he can't play anymore or he didn't have a great year in Tennessee last year, but it's like, look at the Ravens' rushing offenses over the last 5 years. They've had
all kinds of backs that they've plugged in, and Lamar Jackson being the force multiplier that he is, they've never really had trouble running the football. And even last year, I mean, go back and look at their numbers. I mean, in the third and fourth quarter, they ran the heck out of the football, usually with leads. So they didn't have as much of an issue closing out leads last year. So what you say is true, and I don't disagree with what you just said, but I don't think that's necessarily been a big problem. Their problem has been a defense that, back in week two, I think they held the Las Vegas Raiders to, it was like 44 yards in the first half, and then suddenly Gardner Minshew looks like Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter, and they held the Cowboys to 6 points through three quarters down in Dallas on Sunday, and then suddenly they're marching down the field on them. So, I mean, yeah, their pass defense, for whatever reason, it's been really good in the first half of games, and it's just really struggled, even with a game script that suggests, well, they can't run the ball, and they're trailing by multiple scores, you know they're going to throw it, and they haven't been able to stop it. So I think, yes, inherently what you said, I don't disagree, but you know, for whatever reason, it's just, you know, for me, it's been much more of a defense that just hasn't been able to play 60 minutes for whatever reason. And you know, maybe it's defensive coordinator, maybe it's some of the personnel that they lost in the offseason, but it's something that they better fix very quickly, because the Bills aren't going to feel sorry for them in that department, that's for sure.
Luke Jones, WNST in Baltimore. The defense there, as you mentioned, like one of the things I saw was they've given up a lot of big plays. It's been explosive chunk plays, which has been a theme in the league this year, that those plays are down, but teams are having their success against Baltimore in that department.
Yeah, it has been. And I'll tell you where it's really shown up. It's really been that middle intermediate portion of the field, and you know, kind of that area just beyond Roquan Smith when they're, and obviously they don't, they play a decent amount of man coverage, but when they're in zone, it's that area beyond Roquan Smith and in front of free safety Marcus Williams. I mean, teams have just really exploited that part of the field against them. And, you know, as I mentioned, I alluded to it. I mean, Mike McDonald, their former defensive coordinator, who was so good the last couple of years, is obviously in Seattle and has the Seahawks off to a great start in his first year as head coach. You know, it's not that I think Zach Gore, the replacement, is not going to be a good defensive coordinator, because I do think he will be, but you know, there's an adjustment here. There's a learning curve, and for whatever reason, they just have not had their pass defense calibrated. And to your point, they've given up plays, and again, just going back to that theme that I've talked about, that they haven't played 60 minutes, their tackling has really faltered late in games as well. So again, these aren't the things you want to be happening when you're talking about someone who can create, you know, out of structure or in structure with Josh Allen at quarterback. So, you know, they're searching for it right now. And again, they played really well for stretches, but when it's gone sideways, it's really gone sideways. And you know, I think, you know, even John Harbaugh talking over the last week, I mean, he's not just talked about them needing to be consistent, but he's talked about how at times it feels like it's inexplicable that things look so good and then they just turns and they look so bad then late in games.
Luke, there were a lot of questions about the Ravens' offensive line coming into the year, and then like week one, I think it was kind of easy to see like, ooh, that didn't look great. And now they're banged up on top of that, just looking at the practice report. So for this week in particular, how much are they in trouble on the offensive line? And then for the whole season, how much trouble do you think they're in?
Yeah, I mean, they had a nice performance against the Dallas defense. And I think, you know, when you saw what Dallas did the week before against New Orleans, and then you see what the Saints did against the Eagles the following week, and you guys know it's early, it's a week-to-week league, it's hard to do that, you know, team A against team B, and then what happens, you know, against another team. But, you know, that Cowboys front isn't exactly robust beyond Micah Parsons. So they went into that game and said, we're going to run the heck out of the football. I mean, Lamar Jackson threw 15 times in that game. That was a career low for him in games that he started and finished. I don't think that's going to be the formula all season long. So, yeah, that offensive line remains a question. In terms of the injury report, you know, my gut, you know, my early, you know, feelings are that that's not going to be a major issue Sunday night in terms of, like, multiple guys missing the game. I think they're going to be okay. But that said, that doesn't mean they're going to be 100%. And you know, I don't need to tell you guys that Bills front has played really well early in the season. So I think this is going to be a big test for the Ravens on Sunday night. And, yeah, I'm still not fully buying that this offensive line is fixed or going to be fine moving forward, anything like that. It was a step in the right direction against the Cowboys, but I think for the Ravens, and again, this kind of goes back to, you know, the Derrick Henry and just the running game factor as well. the Ravens with their O-line right now and the questions that they have, they certainly don't want to be in a position where they fall behind on Sunday night and suddenly Lamar's happened to throw 35, 40 times. Not because I don't think Lamar Jackson can throw the football. You know, I think he proved that last year in much more of a drop-back offense than they had been under Greg Roman, but pass protection-wise, you know, I don't know if this team can hold up in five-man protection if Lamar needs to throw 35, 40 times. And, you know, that showed up big time in that Kansas City game. So it's going to be interesting on that front. But certainly I expect the Bills to be a much bigger test than the Cowboys were on Sunday, which, yeah, again, I think that front, I love Micah Parsons as a player, but yeah, that's an undersized front that I think the Ravens just completely took advantage of.
Yeah, that unit's deep for the Bills too. Lastly, for me, Luke, what on earth is going on with Mark Andrews? Like, what's the best explanation, I guess, for you at this point for why he? I think last week, what was he, third amongst their tight ends in snaps and only ran like four routes?
Yeah, well, I mean, specifically last week, like I said, I think they went into that game just saying, we're going to run the heck out of the ball. We need a win. We don't think Dallas can stop the run. We think our offensive line is bigger than their front, and we're going to take advantage. So I'm not as concerned about week three in isolation, but I wish I had the answer for you because I wouldn't have drafted Mark Andrews in two of my fantasy football leagues.
Me too.
Right?
Yep.
So even as someone who follows this team, you know, for amusement purposes only, let's be clear, but it's definitely left me surprised, you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, when it happens one week, fine. You have Isaiah Likely, who played so well in week one, and Kansas City has done a good job taking Mark Andrews away in the past, and they did it again in week one, but then it happens in week two and week three. Now it's a trend, and now you are starting to wonder. I will say this. He did deal with some nagging things during training camp. He was in a car accident that, thankfully, I mean, as bad as it sounded like it was, he escaped without any major injuries, but, you know, he did miss some time. And I do wonder, even though he's not on the injury report, you guys know how this is. It's the NFL, and teams are, you know, aren't always completely forthcoming with injury reports. I have wondered if he's completely healthy. But, you know, this offense, you know, I love Derrick Henry, love Lamar, love running the ball, all that. But there absolutely is going to come a time where they need to make more plays in the passing game, and they're going to have to get Mark Andrews more involved. But I'm with you. I've kind of been at a loss because, you know, again, one game is one thing, but we're now talking about three games where he's been a complete non-factor, and it's just shocking considering he's one of the best tight ends in football over the last 5 years.
Luke Jones on the Ravens. Luke, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the game.
You too. Take care, guys.
WNST, BaltimorePositive.com. He's online on Twitter, at Baltimore Luke. Maybe thank Luke Jones. Bills Ravens. It's a good one. Is it the best game of the week?
Gotta be. There can't be many in the league that would even beat it. How many matchups, if you could dream them up, would be better than this one? Not many.
Vikings-Packers. Is that a better game?
You put that better than Bills-Ravens?
Maybe not.
I understand. Considering I like that game.
There are injuries, but Vikings-Packers is good this week. You know.
Well, let's see, because we do have our Sunday
one,
ourselves.
I got one more that's good. Seahawks-Lions.
All right, that's pretty good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Something about Seahawks-Lions, though, just doesn't... It just. I look at those two teams and think, that's a Thursday night game.
You ready for Chiefs-Chargers?
Okay, there we go. But, man, the wind is getting... Everything I read about Justin Herbert is making me less excited for that game. Yeah. It feels like he can't really move that much right now, and maybe he tries to tough it out, but he just tried to tough it out and he couldn't make it through the game. So I don't know. We might be getting Heinicke against the Chiefs.
Does he have three touchdowns more recently than Mahomes?
He does not, although I'll check in the break. Okay. If he had a game with a rushing touchdown.
Okay. 803-0550 on WGR. Hey, the tailgates are up. Let's celebrate at Northtown Kia's Telluride Tailgates every Saturday in September. Enjoy complimentary tailgate food, Paula's Donuts, plus giveaways of official Buffalo Bills Northtown gear. Enter to win a Northtown Buffalo Bills game day experience, including two tickets to a Bills game, parking and tailgate supplies. No purchase necessary, and while you're there, check out the great pricing on new and used Kias. Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Northtown Automotive Group, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. Scott Pianowski coming up next segment. Talk a little fantasy. See if tight ends are totally broken.
I'm benching Andrews this week.
Have you told him? Did you call him into the office? Mark, listen.
You know?
We know you're going to get your game back, but right now we got to do what's right for the team.
We should have, and now he's going to find out on Twitter because I've just said it live, and he's going to want to trade.
Time for the pick of the week. Pick of the week? I'm going with Sabres and Red Bull Munich.
Yeah, must win. Let's go.
You keep calling it a must win.
Must win. You can't lose to a team not in the NHL when you have a 13-year playoff draft.
They're playing in a 10,000-seat arena. 10,500.
I bet it'll be full.
Yeah, I bet it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Loud, fun.
You're a Red Bull Munich fan. Your guy, Paterka, who you grew in Munich, played for your team. They probably won a lot while he was there. He's coming home. That's probably a cool night if you're a fan of that team.
Is he going to get a turkey out there? Three goals?
Three goals and a tribute video. That's my guess.
JJ the turkey back home in Munich. That's the pick of the week. Next week will be the pick of the week. Will be like a Sabres game. The opener's a week from tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow. That's pretty cool. Anyway, the pick of the week is brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. Pick of the week, a 2014 Ford F-150 4x4 Super Cab. Jump into the driver's seat of this impressive F-150, priced well below the market average. Check it out at riverfrontautosales.com or call Marty Sr., Marty Jr. at 886-1626 for the 2014 Ford F-150 Super Cab. Good-looking truck right there at riverfrontautosales.com.
By the way, 2:30 tomorrow for that Red Bull game.
2:30.
On MSG.
That's the best time to visit the dentist. Did you know that?
2:30 on a Friday?
When's the best time to see the dentist?
Get out.
2:30.
Boo.
Get to go to break.
2:30.
Go to break.
I taught my daughter that joke.
Go
she
to
loves
break.
It. It's a great joke.
It's a dad joke if I've ever heard
two
it.
Dad jokes are great.
This is not a good dad joke.
But it is a dad joke.
Yes, but it's not a good one.
It's a dad joke because the dad in the room made the joke.
Do you want another one? I mean, these are the jokes I'm teaching a three-year-old. How do you make a tissue dance?
How?
Put a little boogie in it.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Three-year-old
I'm
jokes.
Out.
No.
I'm
go.
Out.
No. Stop.